The content of this podcast is provided for general informational purposes only and is not intended as, nor should it be considered a substitute for, professional medical advice.
Sweaty and pissed, menopause makes me sweaty and pissed.
Hello, my darling.
Hello, welcome back to Sweaty and Pissed.
Menopause and more.
It is indeed.
I'm Leanne.
I'm Karen Nickel, nurse practitioner.
I'm a comedian and a mother in a sweat site. And so I don't even know what that is. And we're just sitting up here and enjoying. Karen brought snacks, organic pineapple and cashews.
Yeah.
Then I've seen that brand at Starbucks. What is that? Sahale?
Sahale, yeah.
And she brought me a peach flavored sparkling water, and it is not spiked.
No, it's not.
Because there are those, you know, we'll the young girls are drinking those in bikinis. Uh-huh.
We should do that during one of the shows and just see how that goes.
Oh, drunk, sweaty, and pissed. Menopause and more. Kind of like Drunk History on
That's right.
Comedy Central, which I'm a huge fan. Have you ever watched that?
You know, I think Forrest showed me one episode.
I know. Maybe. I bet Forrest. I know his sense of humor.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, but, so funny.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if anybody wants to listen to two drunk women talk about vaginas. I don't know. I may be wrong.
I think they would. It will have to be one, and Forrest will have to drive us home.
That's right. We can arrange that. So, Forrest. So we're going to continue on with some questions that our listeners posted on Facebook, as I thought it would be helpful for all the other listeners to hear the questions they had, because I think it's all pretty universal.
Yeah. So, I know. I feel like the last three questions, I had all of them.
I know.
Okay.
Maybe I should just keep this sheet so that we know at your next appointment what we need to address.
Oh, I know, my darling. But even though you're so hard to get into, it's like Elvis. I know. In my last show, I told everybody that if Elvis were a nurse practitioner, he would be Karen Nickel. And I don't even know what that means, but you're just famous.
Well.
And in such demand, and people put so much on you. And I know I do, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, I'm happy to be your concierge medicine person. So we have a question from Becky, who said that she had talked to her endocrinologist about, I guess she has her thyroid managed at an endocrinology office, and she thought, well, I've listened to the podcast and I have all these questions about hormones. I'll ask my endocrinologist, because
yeah,
it's a correct assumption that somebody who specializes in human hormones would also specialize in female hormones. But she talked to him about it and talked about her symptoms and asked what she should do about it. And he said, well, you're just getting older. That's what happens.
Oh,
so she was.
Becky, God love you.
I know.
Little big.
And there are so many people who have had that experience, unfortunately. And so she was quite, well, she was embarrassed, because she thought, well, I guess I shouldn't have asked those questions. But Becky, you were right to ask those questions. And that answer is not acceptable. And I would say that a lot of endocrinologists don't really address or manage. I shouldn't say they don't address, but they don't manage the female hormones. You know, they're busy with thyroid, diabetes, you know, Addison's disease, Marfan's. I mean, a lot of complicated things. So, you know, I guess female hormones isn't what they've focused on. But, and I'm sure there are some endocrinologists out there who do. She asked, what kind of doctor should I be searching for? You know, who can I ask these questions of? So I would say that what you're looking for is a provider, doctor, nurse practitioner, physician's assistant, who focuses on what we call either functional medicine or has an integrative medicine approach. So probably the best way to find it is looking for someone who says that they're an integrative medicine provider, because they will merge and use Western medicine approaches and some other adjunctive ways to make people feel better. So integrative medicine, I think I mentioned on a previous episode that another way to find a person like that is to talk to your a compounding pharmacist in your area, because they'll know who's doing compounded hormones and doing them well. So that's mm-hmm. always a good way to mm-hmm. research it in your area. So you're looking for a functional medicine or integrative medicine provider, and those might be most easily found by talking to a compounding pharmacist in your area.
Yes.
So.
And shout out to Malden, South Carolina. I just did a show at a theater there, and a compound pharmacist came up to me, and she said, I've listened to Sweaty and Pissed.
Oh,
and
really?
Thank you so much for telling people, because we're the ones that know.
Yeah.
Who's mixing the hormones right?
Yep.
And doing the right.
They get some pretty funny prescriptions that come into their businesses, and it's clear when someone doesn't know what they're doing with compounding. And you really need to be trained to do that. So So they're really a very good resource. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
I know.
That's good.
I know. She came up to me after the show, and I think she bought a T-shirt.
Well.
So, there was a lot of people from Malden, South Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina. I can't even think where I was that weekend. But anyway, they came up and listened to us. Yeah. So,
and where are you going to be upcoming?
I will be in Mackinac Island,
mm-hmm.
Michigan.
Oh.
And Orlando and Tampa. I think at the Funny Bones or Improvs. Oopsie goopsie. But you can look on liammorgan.com.
Yeah.
And there's more shows being added all the time.
Yeah. And you can purchase your tickets there as well.
Yes, you can.
Perfect.
Or you can, I'll get you to it somehow. Somebody will.
A link. A link. There might be a link there.
Yes.
Good. So another question is from Margaret, and she asks, when using vaginal cream, number one, does it have an effect on the uterus? You know,
when
so,
using a vaginal cream?
Well, you're using a vaginal estrogen cream. I'm sorry.
Oh,
if I,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
When using vaginal estrogen, does that stimulate? I think what she's asking is, does it stimulate, you know, the lining of the uterus? Will it thicken the lining of the uterus if you're taking estrogen that's basically not opposed with progesterone? So typically when we use vaginal estrogen, it's a really low dose, and you're using a very small amount, and you're using it twice weekly. So we don't get a big bump in blood levels of estrogen, specifically estradiol or estriol, when using vaginal estrogen. So most of the time, it does not have a stimulatory effect on the lining of the uterus. I have had a handful of patients over the years who started spotting or bleeding when they started using vaginal estrogen. So that's possible that that could happen, but typically, it's such a low dose, and it's used so infrequently, it's not dosed every day, that it doesn't have that stimulatory effect. But when we compound estrogen vaginal cream, we can always throw a little progesterone in there, too, when we're compounding. Any vaginal estrogen that is manufactured, you know, that's at your regular pharmacy, will be estrogen only. So her other question is, and we talked about a little bit about this on our last episode, is what's the effect on my husband if estrogen cream is inserted vaginally and he's exposed during intercourse? So if you insert vaginal estrogen and you have intercourse within 6 hours, you are going to have, you're going to transfer some estrogen to your partner. So I always tell my patients either use it on an off night or or insert it after intercourse so that you're not, he's not getting estrogen cream on him. So
yeah, and that's easy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When you go to the bathroom to empty your bladder, brush your teeth.
That's right.
Put your estrogen in.
Get that done.
Do it on an off night.
Yeah. So, but it's and a good, it's a good, good question.
Say, hey, I just put my estrogen in. Leave me alone. Why don't you watch Game of Thrones?
True. So there's another one you can use.
Yeah, that or a planter wart. Or say, I remember saying after I had one of my babies, I remember saying, there's something hanging out of my butt. Would you look and see what it is? And it was a hemorrhoid. And that shuts, kept me going for a long
that
time.
Shut things
yeah.
down.
I mean, yeah, Chuck does not. Yeah, he's, you know, we're not intimate in that way. And so, I mean, that was a good one, man. When that hemorrhoid went away, it was like, darn it, what can I come up with now? And let me say again, love Chuck, just tired, you know, had a bunch of cans.
Yeah.
Can't be swinging from the chandelier. I'm exhausted, you know, and he likes a clean house and a casserole. I'm doing all I can do.
That's right.
Okay, so anyway, didn't mean to get off that tangent. Okay,
no.
So it will transfer.
Yeah.
If you, okay. So.
Yeah. So, she asks, is it better to insert the cream at night or at another time? And typically if you're using cream, it's best to insert it at night so it stays in place as long as possible. If you insert it to the day.
Well, that makes sense.
In the day, it tends to sort of glop out.
Oh, yeah.
But that's one of the reasons I do compounded vaginal triturates, which is like a little sort of waxy pellet that you just pop in with your finger, and so it's not messy and it's not going to glop out. So you can put that in day or night, but specifically vaginal cream, you'd want to put that in at night. And I also tell my patients to insert it about halfway up the vaginal area. So you're going to insert the applicator about 2 inches. You don't insert the applicator all the way, like you would like a tampon or something. So
or monostat.
Yeah, exactly. You want to insert the applicator about 2 inches in so that you're distributing the estrogen mostly in the bottom half of the vaginal area, because that's the place that gets really dry and loses its flexibility. And so definitely want to take care of that bottom half of the vaginal area.
Oh, well, what a good question.
Yeah. Yeah. So then from Connie, she asks, have you seen gallbladder attacks with estrogen start? And the answer to that is yes. Estrogen will trigger gallbladder problems. Like some women, you'll see young women who start a birth control pill, which is high estrogen, and they'll start having gallbladder symptoms. And that's why the most common person or most likely person to get gallbladder disease is someone who's female, 40, and fertile, because we are making a lot of estrogen during that time, and it will trigger a gallbladder problem. So just keep that in mind if you are starting a birth control pill or you're just starting some estrogen, that if you start having right upper quadrant pain or right upper quadrant pain that radiates your right shoulder, or you have nausea and right upper quadrant pain after meals, that maybe your gallbladder has been stimulated by that estrogen. So that needs to get checked out. But it's a really good question.
You know, I hear these things and then I think I've got them. Okay. And you know,
you should never go to medical school.
I told you. Well, I couldn't, honey. I couldn't. I'm smart in a lot of ways. That is not my gift. Okay. I Remember when I told you, I said, so-and-so told me they had sludge in their gallbladder. Will you check mine? You hit, and I got an ultrasound, and I had no sludge.
No.
But I figured out that if I hear something, I think, oh, I've got that. And you've had to check me for how many things. But we checked my gallbladder because
I think you were having some symptoms.
I had some symptoms.
And it's interesting because I see a lot of women who have gallbladder symptoms, and when we check their ultrasound, it's fine. And, you know, so sometimes the gallbladder can just have spasms without having stones or sludge or inflammation. So typically that kind of thing will just sort of come and go. But it should be checked out if it's, especially if it's coming with regularity. You know, you're having
people
symptoms.
People say gallbladder attacks.
They're miserable. Yeah, they're miserable. So, all right. This is from another Karen, and she asks, what's the difference between using vaginal and systemic estrogen, and will systemic hormones help with brain fog, fatigue, and painful sex? Well, as I was saying earlier, that the vaginal estrogen, we're just using enough to put estrogen in that tissue and not enough to deal with your systemic symptoms like hot flashes, night sweats, brain fog, all that. So it would help with the painful intercourse, but not likely to help with all the other symptoms. And the systemic estrogen, I think you mentioned a patch in your question, will help with the brain fog and the fatigue. And what else did you mention? Yeah, well, brain fog and fatigue and hot flashes, night sweats, leg cramps, foot cramps. It will help with all that stuff. But sometimes even when we use systemic estrogen, we also need some vaginal estrogen because we don't typically dose the estrogen so high that it will fix definitively the dry vaginal problem. So sometimes we have to do both, to be honest with you. Sometimes we have to do both. Mm. So that's from Karen. And I have just one more for this episode. And it is a question from Sharon. And she asks, does having children later in life, like 41, 42, 43 years old, affect your perimenopause and menopause differently? And it's a really good question.
That is a good question.
Because yeah, it does.
It does.
Yeah. So, you know, you had your children, you were young.
Yeah. I think my last one, she's 21, I'm 53, so 32. Yeah, but I have a lot of friends that had babies in their 40s.
Yeah.
In late 30s.
Yeah. So here's the problem. We're already, perimenopause can happen. Those symptoms can happen anywhere between age 35 and 50. Not that it can't happen earlier, but typically it happens between age 35 and 50. So if you're having a baby at 38 or 39, we often will get hormonal imbalance symptoms after having a baby anyway. And so then you do that during your perimenopausal years, and it's like a double whammy. Your hormones can get really screwed up, and they don't bounce back. Like if you had a baby at 21, you know, hormones bounce back pretty well after delivery. But at 40, the hormones are already out of whack, and so they don't normalize very well after delivery. So the people I see who tend to have the most symptoms are most likely to have symptoms are women who are in their 30s, early 40s, and have had a baby. They tend to be real symptomatic after delivery. Hate to say.
Not that you can't go through that and have a baby
at 40, that's fine. But just, you know, you might need some help with hormone balance after that, for sure. And she also asks, can you discuss taking low-dose birth control to manage perimenopause? And if on OCs, on oral contraceptives, does your doctor just pull you off if one day, pull you off of it one day and see if you're menopausal? So the answer to that, short answer is yes, you can use oral contraceptives to manage perimenopausal symptoms. But because hormonal contraception is either high estrogen and they're combined with progestin, which thins the lining of the uterus, so your lining doesn't get real thick while you're on that high estrogen. So you have high estrogen and a progestin, and progestin does not do for us what progesterone, our own progesterone, does for us. We don't have the same benefits as, you know, sleep promoting, mood stabilizing, improving sex drive. So what you end up being is very estrogen dominant.
Oh, Lord. And that's not fun.
No. And perimenopausal women are already in that state where they're already estrogen dominant. Now, if you are taking birth control pills and you're doing fabulously, I would leave it alone. But if you're having a lot of estrogen dominant symptoms like foggy thinking, weight gain, poor sex drive,
swollen breasts,
yes,
throbbing,
just, you know, fluid retention, feeling so puffy, you know, if you're feeling that way on birth control pills, better to look at a way to balance your estrogen, or I mean, balance your hormones by being off of that and decreasing your estrogen and working on increasing your progesterone, which is what would help with those symptoms. And in terms of coming off of it, the answer to that, short answer to that also is yes. If at some point you would just be taken off your birth control pills, wait at least a month and check hormones and FSH and see if you've gone into menopause. It's a nerve-wracking thing for people, you know, who are still using birth control pills for birth control rather than just, you know, managing menstrual problems. They're a nervous wreck coming off their birth control pills.
Well, I would be too.
I don't blame them. Yeah. So that's that. You have to work with your provider on that whole process so that, you know, you're not worried all the time that you're going to get pregnant. So, yeah, but that's typically what we do, is just take people off their birth control pill and A, see if they have a period, and B, recheck levels and see if, especially the FSH, and see if you've gone into menopause. Average age of menopause is 51. So if you're 52 and on birth control pills, it's a reasonable thing to come off of that, because you do have a higher clot risk with birth control pills. And it's even higher risk the older we are. So anyway.
And you, you know, I've always been had a marina.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I took birth control years ago, and not very long.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took a progesterone only pill
mm-hmm.
when I was breastfeeding Tess.
Mm-hmm.
And I made casseroles for everybody in the neighborhood. I never felt as good as I did on that birth control pill.
Interesting.
When I was nursing.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like Superwoman. And then when did we do that? I think maybe an IUD. I don't know. Lord, it's been a blur. Chuck would have had 10 and yeah. left them with me. And I would have had on big sweatpants and my hair tied up and with roots. But we would have gotten through it.
Yeah.
But a baby is from heaven.
They are.
And so let me ask you this. When somebody that wants to get pregnant, say, have never had a baby and they're 42, 43, does it, that can be done and be done beautifully? And isn't it better, I'm sure, just like everything else, if they are healthy, they eat clean,
oh, yeah.
then they come through it probably with bells on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're getting pregnant at 42, it's considered a high risk pregnancy. So there, you know, there are certain things that are riskier about, you know, being a 42-year-old woman having a baby, but certainly if you eat a healthy diet, exercise, don't smoke, don't drink, of course, don't do drugs, you're much more likely to have a good outcome when you have that baby. So
yeah.
Holds true for everything.
It holds true for everything.
Yep. Why is it so hard to
not want a Diet Coke? You know, getting out and ordering a Diet Coke is like saying, I would like some heroin. You know, people look at you terrible, and I've got to get off of it. But, and I'm so tickled you bringing me this peach flavored, because I'm trying to do more of, like, you know, bubble or whatever they call
like
them.
If you like carbonation, there are plenty of sparkling water drinks.
Yeah, in a Tervis tumbler with a straw that does not kill the turtles.
Yes.
In a car.
Yeah.
In the heat while I'm running errands. I mean, I gotta have something.
Yeah. Well, you know,
living.
You don't want to be killing yourself drinking Diet Coke while you're trying to save the turtles by drinking out a stainless steel straw.
Oh, darn it.
That doesn't make sense.
I know. And it is terrible. Okay. All right. Message. I got it. Your toenails look nice.
Oh,
all right. So we will be back.
We will.
And we've had a ball.
Yes.
And we're glad to be back. And
yeah.
And we will get everybody next time. So keep asking Karen difficult questions.
And thanks for listening. And thanks for your comments.
And thank you for all that and listening to me about my hemorrhoid hanging out of my butt. And okay, so we'll see you next time, my darling.
All right. And thanks to Forrest for producing.
Oh, Forrest. Yummy Forrest.
See you next time.
Okay. Bye.
Sweaty and pissed. Sweaty and pissed. Menopause makes me sweaty and pissed.